Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, I hope you're all super excited for a new episode of Happy Hour this week. This one's me and Natalie, my big. I am so excited right now, you guys.
Guys, I'm so excited, but also really nervous. This is my first podcast.
I know, like, why are we nervous? It's going to be so good. This episode is going to be so good. I can feel it. But before we get into it, I wanted to introduce a sponsor of today's show. This show is brought to you again by Cash App, the number one finance app in the App Store. If you remember from my previous episodes, Cash App has a free app that makes it super easy to instantly send money to your friends. Whether you owe a friend for a bet you lost or just want to settle a group dinner that one person paid for, Cash App is the app to use. That's when I'll typically use it too. I just find it the most convenient when I'm, you know, paying one person back for a group dinner. And Cash App also comes with a cash card. It's like a free debit card that comes with Boosts, which are like instant rewards for shopping at places you already love. You can get big discounts off of your entire purchase at places like DoorDash, Whole Foods, Target, and way more. It's literally like having a credit card and having credit card perks, but just packed into a free debit card, which sounds pretty good to me. I'm also excited to be working with Cash App to be supporting one of my favorite organizations, if you guys remember, the Jimmy Fund. And when you sign up for Cash App and use my promo code Happy Hour, all caps, just one word, not only will you instantly receive $10, but Cash App will also donate $10 to the Jimmy Fund, which is a charity that raises money for adult and pediatric cancer care and research to improve the chances of survival for patients around the world. So I hope you'll consider downloading Cash App and using my promo code, since we can fundraise so much money for the Jimmy Fund together. You'll get $10 to you and $10 towards defeating cancer, which sounds like a pretty awesome deal to me. Again, you can use the promo code Happy Hour when you download Cash App from the App Store today. Okay, now getting into the episode, you guys. This is so crazy. This is so fun that I have Natalie here with me. She is going to be the best person to have on the pod because she's just so fun.
Well, guys, I'm honestly so nervous because I was telling Gretchen before, this is my first podcast. This is a dream come true, let me tell you. But we're both really excited and we're just both like quaking in our boots right now.
It's so funny because right as you start, I feel like you're nervous and you're thinking about it being there. And then like when I was recording with Taylor, by the end of this, you're going to forget that this is even here and we're just going to be like talking to each other and you just get like so into it. So this is going to be just so fun. And basically this is a little bit of a different kind of episode because a lot of times I'll ask you guys to leave me questions, but a lot of you just send in requests, which were so helpful. Thank you for doing that. Just about all these topics you want to hear about. And a lot of it I noticed was about advice. A lot of people were saying that they love my like big sister kind of talks and just advice that I give you guys. So this one's going to mainly be about advice. And I thought there's no better person to do it with than my big sis, Natalie. If you guys didn't know, she's my big sister in my sorority from college. And yeah, it's funny because we're the same age too, but I've really always thought of her as like my big. Like sometimes it's just like we're friends, but you really are like my big, and she always gives me advice. Like this is gonna get mushy.
I always forget that you're, not that I forget that you're my little, but like I don't think of you as like little. I just think of you as like my other person, like part of my life.
Yeah.
But guys, I need to start taking my own advice because Gretchen says I give good advice, but
she's the best advice.
I don't think I take my own.
Like I would not have gone through college. You taught me so many things.
Gretchen, you teach me things all day long.
Like with friends and boys and stuff, we'll get into it. A lot of it is going to be about like relationships and boys and stuff like that, but
The good stuff. Oh yeah,
the good stuff. We're going to get into the nitty gritty. But oh my gosh, some of the topics were like really rated R and I'm like, that is just so not the Happy Hour vibe.
It's my vibe though.
It's Natalie's. I know Natalie needs to start where she talks about all her
rated R stuff.
Yeah, her rated R topics.
But oh boy.
I wish you guys could see right now. We literally just demolished a bag of chips.
It's fine though, guys. Like we're like, ooh, I'm a little hungry. Like I just need a little snack.
A
like
little
a cute
something.
Little snack. And then we literally demolished a giant bag of
like a
tortilla
jumbo
chips.
like a family size.
But we're two family size girls. Yeah,
so we really are. And there's a bowl of chocolate on my left, and it's just like staring into my soul. I think I ate like 10 pieces.
It's fine though. We're just healthy.
Like
queens.
In the holidays with the Lindt chocolate and the little squares of, are those Ghirardelli? Is that what that's called? Yeah. Sitting out, like that's so dangerous.
It's so dangerous, but. Yeah. You know, I'm always one to dive a little on the dangerous side.
Me and Natalie, like, eat crap together. We're saying there's, like, friends you know you're just going to have junk with.
Yes. That's us. That's Gretchen. I'm like, ooh, you a little hungry? Because I know I could eat.
She always knows I'll be down to eat the junk food. Yeah. Okay, so we are going to jump into my typical format. This is so funny, like, freaking Natalie into this because you're just like, I don't know. I feel like it's like serious, like really deep, like what I'm happy about right now, like a happy quote, and that's so like not you.
I know.
But
sorry, guys.
No, this will be good. This will force her. Like literally, I feel like from Natalie being my big, I taught her how to be mushy and have feelings.
Because I'm just like, come on everyone, let's go. Yeah. Let's go out tonight.
Yeah. But also I knew I wanted her to be my big because she was just so fun and like social and outgoing, and I like wanted that.
You're making me blush. Yeah.
But okay, we're gonna talk about what we're happy about just right now. It can be like in general or this week or whatever. So what are you happy about?
So I am happy about, I feel like all of us, this sounds super annoying, but I'm just gonna say it anyway, like us, mm-hmm. Boston YouTubers, mm-hmm. we've really come together this month of December, and I know it's only the fifth day of December.
But you're right. You're
but
so right.
We've like really come together, I feel like, and I've just seen like Maggie, Emma, Brooke, Arlen, Gretchen so much, and it just makes me really happy to see that everyone's just happy with one another, everyone's supporting each other, no one's like, there's no, not that there's ever beef, but like everyone's just loving each other, and it's mm-hmm. just been fun to be around and just everyone laughing and just sharing this experience with yeah. everyone.
Oh, I love that. I love that you said that, because especially after our Friendsgiving, Vlogsgiving, TikToks giving, whatever you call it, the other night, I felt like so happy, like genuinely so happy. And I was just like, wow, I guess I miss just being really social with like a lot of people. Yeah. And we just had the best time. And yeah, that makes me so happy you said that. And not that there is any, like, beef ever, but I feel like social media can get such a bad, like, rap, or, like,
yeah.
it's all online, obviously, so you miss a lot of, like, in-person, like, connection. Like, that sounds weird.
No,
or, like,
so true.
People that have coworkers and they make really strong bonds with them and they see them every day at work. Like, we don't have that. Like, mm-hmm. it can be quite isolating at times, like, working remotely, and you can be alone every second of every day if you really wanted to, so you have to, like, push yourself to, like, make plans with friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been so fun, like, being with each other. And that actually goes really well with what I'm happy about, because I feel like, guys, this is so dumb. It's a little thing sometimes, okay? But I feel like that night, too, I was really happy.
I'm going to start laughing because I know what you're going to say.
I was really happy being with my friends, but I feel like the over... Wait, also, I'm looking at it right now. The top of it looks kind of messed up. Why does it look bent? Doesn't it? Yes. It looks kind of scary. Well, okay.
By the way, she's talking about a Christmas tree, so get your mind out of the gutter.
My thing that I'm really happy about is my Christmas tree that we got. It was, like, on sale at Target. It was $60.
Oh, thank God.
We were going to get, like, this $200 one. Taylor was like, that's crazy. And then we found this one. It was less money because it didn't have Christmas lights on it. So then we're like, oh, we'll just buy the Christmas lights, like, separate, save some dollars. And it was supposed to be $80, and then it rung up, and it was $60. And we were like, happy day.
A little DIY never hurt nobody.
Exactly. So my little bargain Christmas tree has just brought so much joy into my life in these past couple days.
I'm so happy
for
that.
I know that sounds funny, but I swear, that's why I was so happy during Friendsgiving, because we just got our tree set up, and we had the Michael Bublé Christmas playing, mm-hmm. and we had, like, all the food. It was just so good. So that's really what I'm happy about right now, is this Christmas tree from Target.
I'm happy for friends, and she's happy for Target.
I'm happy for the things you buy at Target. No, but I think just, like, the vibe it gives off, and, like,
totally.
The energy for Christmas.
I'm totally vibing with your tree.
Are you?
I'm so vibing with it. The vibes,
you should see
man.
Natalie right now. She really is vibing. She has a beanie on.
I'm vibing.
Wait, did you post that photo on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to go like it.
I'm a warm buttered croissant.
Before we started recording this, you guys, Natalie was posing in her fuzzy blanket on my couch, and the sun was just coming through. It was like the most beautiful background.
I looked like the solar eclipse.
Yeah, she
did.
I was
literally glowing.
It was really funny. So We got a little Insta photo quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're happy about right now. I mean, obviously, I'm, like, really happy about all of us being together too and coming together. Like, this morning, I was like, wow, I'm so happy. Like, me and Natalie and Maggie and Emma, I just realized, is that proper grammar? I always get yelled at, me and Natalie, Natalie and I don't know. Whatever. The four of us were together. And it was just so fun, like, dinking around.
It was. Yeah. We do have fun dinking around.
Yeah, and Arlen and Brooke, too, obviously, mm-hmm. and, like, all of our other friends, but... Okay, now we are going to tell you a happy quote of this week, which a lot of the times I have always thought of it as a happy quote, but a lot of times it's just like a happy thought in my mind or like a principle. I don't even know how to say it.
No, that makes sense.
But Natalie is going to give you one this week since she's our special guest.
Well, I have to say Max Willman's boat quote really spoke to me. It was about the harbors and that the boats are built there, but they're not meant for that. However, I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to say that my favorite thought, I guess it's just the energy that you give off is the energy that you receive. So it's pretty simple. Basically, when you stay positive, positive things will come, which obviously Gretchen's really good at. If you're negative, then negative things will come. So I feel like it's just always keeping a positive mindset and always trying to be confident, and hopefully those good things will come back to you at some point.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you.
I feel like we've been talking so much about, like, manifesting and stuff. Mm-hmm. And honestly, back in the day, I feel like when I first heard about that and, like, what manifesting is and manifestation, I'd be like, what is that mumbo jumbo? Like, that doesn't mean anything. But now I really just think Tori and Arlen are rubbing off on me. But I'm just like, wow, like, I so believe in it. And, like, Tori and her spin studio, obviously, and Arlen and his merch and just everything. Like, it's so crazy what I almost think more too. Maybe more than a positive mindset, like, obviously that helps, but they're so just, like, goal-oriented and, like, focused on what they want, and they can, like, spell out exactly what they want, so, like, it's going to happen because they, like, want it that bad and are working so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I love that. I really have noticed, like, the energy you put out, you get. Perfect example, yesterday, I feel like Max, like, doesn't believe in it, but I was texting him before his game, and I was like, you're going to play great tonight, you're going to score a goal, and he's like, I'm manifesting a goal right now, and guess who scored a goal? In his game yesterday.
I know, I saw that.
Like, you never know. I was telling Lucy that on FaceTime, too, today. I was, like, just, like, how you think about things is, like, so impactful.
And you almost have to picture how you want your life to turn out or to be and believe that so much that it ends up actually
to fruition.
Yeah, it has to come true because there's no other way. And then your mind, I feel like, adapts to the way that the things are coming back to you in the way that your mindset is geared towards achieving that goal, if that makes any sense.
Oh my gosh, guys, you need to, and Natalie needs to too, listen to, did that make any sense? Natalie also needs to. She needs to listen to, and you guys also need to go listen to Tori's podcast. I'm literally such a fan, but she talks all, what you were just saying really reminded me in her, one of her last episodes, her last one, she talks all about, she envisions her higher self, and she's like, my higher self doesn't drink alcohol. Like, it's so funny. Like, she pictures her ideal self.
That's crazy.
And so she's like, I don't really drink anymore because I know my ideal self doesn't. And my ideal self wakes up at 5 a.m. every day and works out because it makes me happy and makes me feel good. And it's so crazy how she talks about that. And she talks about how she plans out, like, what does a perfect day look like for her or an ideal day in her life. And that really gets me thinking, like, I don't even know if I've ever thought like that.
Same.
Like, what would a perfect day look like to you? I don't even know.
I'd have to sit down and,
like, write it out. And if you, like, spell it out and you do that, I feel like that would just bring you so much, like, happiness, and, like, you'd feel so fulfilled knowing that that's exactly what you want to be doing.
And what that will get you closer to your future goals and stuff like that.
Like, so I really want to do that.
We should.
I need to, after tomorrow. This, we're going to sit down and we're going to write.
We're going to write down everything.
Our ideal self.
And it's definitely not eating a bag of tortilla chips.
No, it's not. Yeah, she talks all about her, like, higher self. And I would recommend.
Love that.
That really, like, inspired me.
Love that for her.
So I love that happy quote. And now we're getting into the big sis talk. Okay, side note, we're 14 minutes in already. Isn't that insane how quick it goes?
We're like... Two minutes.
I know. I remember with Brooke, she's like, guess how long we've been recording? I'm like, how long? She's like, 60 minutes. I'm like, what? Like, it goes by so quick because you can just, like, chat.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about just big sis advice because Natalie's my big sis.
Yes.
So I kind of did this in, like, chronological order and just order of, like, topics. So first, I want to ask you, do you have college tips for freshmen? Because I know that's such a thing and people, it's such a big transition time in your life when you're coming in. What would you say to your freshman self or any like freshman going into college?
I would just say take every opportunity you can and just put yourself out there as much as you can, because it's such a weird time from going to high school into college, especially if you went to like your public high school and you've been with those people for like 10 years or whatever. And then you're going into a college where you probably know only a few people or no one at all. So I would just say go to any social opportunity you can, be outgoing in class, like find someone that you like even have a little connection with that you're like, oh, they might be cool. Just be like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Like anything like that. And be like, oh, let's like pregame in my room or something like that, and just try and build those connections. And I would also say, don't get your panties in a wad if you see that all these girls, especially, I'm sure it happens with guys, but I know specifically since I'm a girl that this happens, that some people will have these huge groups of friends already in their freshman year. But let me tell you, they all hate each other. Like, no one their freshman year has a huge group of friends that they're, like, best friends with. It's superficial. So if you don't have that, I promise you, within the next year or 6 months or whatever, you will find your people. And I would just say be in a club or a sorority or anything like that, and those types of things will definitely help.
Wait, I love that, because that obviously gets you so involved, like the extra things you can do, and I feel like it's so cliche to be like, say yes to everything and take every opportunity, but yeah. Obviously that's going to help so much, and you don't want to have any regrets, but I love that you said that about friends, and I wish I would have told myself, like, your friends are going to change, and that's okay, yes. And your friends do change in college, and it's a good thing, because you are finding people that you more closely, like, align with, like,
totally.
Your lifestyle and your values and just, like, who you enjoy spending time with. And the people that you immediately find and hang out with might not be who you should be best friends with totally. Anyway. Or, you know, and I feel like that's, like, a good thing to know. And Natalie's so right. The people that are, like, big friend groups in the beginning are what you think. Maybe they knew each other before college. And honestly, my experience, well, that's a lie. I was going to say, if you knew someone before college, you probably won't be friends all through college.
Just your roommate.
Taylor, I've known since first grade. And, like, Lucy, that's, like, a different story. But, for example, my friend Hannah and her roommate at UVM, they, like, met before and were planning to be roommates and were so excited. Yeah. And it was just, like, a horror story and did not work out at all. And after, like, one semester together, they had to split up. So it's, like, you never really know, even if it looks like other people are, like, having so fun and so close. Like, don't put pressure on it, because you're going to find the people you're supposed to be friends with. Like, you can meet in, like, the weirdest ways in class or, like, on the street or at a frat party or, like, from a sorority. That helps so much. But, yeah, I feel like if you can be in a sorority or a club or something like that that interests you, that's clearly a way to really, like, reduce the amount of people that you're, like, around every day, especially at such a big school. So you'll make friends that way.
Yeah. Like, clearly. And relationships move so much faster in college, because you're with them. So they're just so easily accessible.
Yeah.
So you can literally just walk over to their dorm room or walk to a party with them or, like, see them on Sunday. It's not broken up like in high school it is. So I feel like that makes it a little bit more manageable to, like, reach out to people and try and make things happen. Yeah. But I just wouldn't get down on yourself if you feel like you don't have, like, a set group of friends, because everyone is going through that at some point, whether it looks like it or not. Like, everyone has that internal conflict.
Yeah, I so agree. Yeah. And that just makes me think, last thing, like, everyone says, like, say yes to everything. Obviously not everything, like, really bad things or things you're uncomfortable with, don't do that.
Yeah.
But looking back,
say no to drugs.
Yeah, exactly. But I wouldn't, like... Like, I would have, I don't know what I would have done differently. Like, maybe try to have been more involved in our sorority and, like, get to know more girls in my sorority, because it was still, like, a big sorority, like, stuff like that. And you'll never, like, regret taking a moment to, like, have a conversation with someone or get to know someone more or, like, go get coffee with someone or whatever it is. So,
so true.
Yeah, just push yourself out there, because everyone's feeling the same way.
Absolutely.
Okay, then we should talk about sororities and recruitment process.
Yes.
Like, a lot, because I know you guys have so many questions about that and just, like, in general. And obviously Natalie's my big, and yeah, tell us your opinions, and you can tell us a little bit how, like, the recruitment process works or whatever you want to say.
So I think it's obviously different at each school, and BU's a lot different because we're in a city, so our recruitment literally happens at a hotel in Boston.
Yeah.
So it's way different than going down, like, frat and sorority row at a big state school. But And it's also second semester, which I know some people have it first semester, some people have it second. But if you go into school and you have sorority recruitment your second semester, I would highly recommend just doing it. If you don't make the sorority you wanted to go into, or if you just end up hating it, then you hate it. Like, who cares? But there's literally no harm in trying it, because the worst thing that happens is that you have a good conversation with a few girls and you will walk into them sometime on campus and be like, oh my God, hey, like, I remember there were people still, like, sophomore year that I would run into that I met my freshman year recruitment that I didn't even, like, join that sorority, but we'd still say hi to each other. Yeah. So I just feel like building those relationships is super important. But the whole process itself is definitely exhausting on both sides.
Like, overwhelming.
Super overwhelming. But I would just say, don't try and, like, say you want to be in one sorority, like, to begin with. Yes, of course you have, like, goals and thoughts that you want to be in a certain one, but just see who you click with and, like, see what people, like, stand out to you and what values that they have, because I feel like that's the most that sororities have to offer, and, like, you might as well just be open-minded, and if you get the one that you wanted from the beginning, great, but if you find out that there's another one, that you might have your best friends in that sorority and you have no idea.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I feel like, ultimately, you, obviously, there's so many things about the sorority, like, maybe you really like that sorority's, like, philanthropy, or you really like that your mom is a legacy, is that what it's called, or, like, someone was in it, and you're not supposed to have, like, preconceived notions about the sororities, but you kind of do, and especially me, since I rushed as a sophomore, like, I heard about them, but Natalie's so right, I was so sure that I wanted to be in another sorority going into it, and I did not want to be an Alpha Phi because I heard, like, bad things about it. And then throughout the recruitment process, everyone's like, trust the process. And I'm like, oh, I really should, because the one sorority that I wanted dropped me. They were the only one that dropped me, and I was, like, dirty rushed, and it was this whole thing. But everything happens for a reason, you guys, because this whole time I was, like, loving Alpha Phi, and everyone was so sweet, and I was like, but I heard such terrible things.
Right.
And I ended up in it, and that's exactly what I should have been doing the whole time. Like, that's exactly where I was supposed to end up, you know?
Yes.
So you really should trust the process. And Natalie's, like, so right. Like, the worst thing that can happen, if you really hate it after you join, like, give it some time, stick it out, but you can always drop if you, like, really are unhappy. And the worst thing that happened is that you tried, you know?
Right.
So it's, like, you never know. Like, you might as well try. And I never even knew about sororities. I never thought I would be in one. But then after I quit rowing and I knew, like, five people at BU, I was like, okay, there is, like, 20,000 people that go here. I better branch out.
True.
Maybe a sorority is a good way for me to, like, meet a lot of friends, get involved, stuff like that. So it just worked out so well. And I know it can be scary and daunting. And I remember, like, not sleeping the night before and being so stressed about it. But if you're just, like, yourself and talking with girls how you would with your friends and just trying to make friends, like, I feel like it's gonna work out. And
totally,
yeah, but the process can be really overwhelming, and you're having conversations with so many girls, it's, like, so unnatural, like, you're never doing that any other time in life, and you lose your voice and you get sick. And Natalie was sick when I went through recruitment, like, right before I had a conversation with her. Yeah,
but
I get sick.
Also, another crazy thing, I mean, this is, like, going off on a tangent, but, like, when I first talked to Gretchen, I'm pretty sure I probably wrote on her sheet, like, because you get, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but, like, you get sheets that you write notes. I mean, it's, you probably but I was, like her a lot, but, like, probably not my little, because you, like, write that about people. And, like, still, even the first time when she, what is it, on bid day, when she came, she was at my big's apartment, and I was like, oh, this girl's actually, like, so cool. Like, whatever. Because everyone just knew Gretchen as, like, the YouTuber, like, the innocent, like, YouTuber. And I knew of Gretchen before, but I pretended like I had no idea who she was during recruitment. Because I didn't want her to feel weird. I wanted to be like, I want your videos.
Yeah.
But, and this was obviously before I even, like, had any inkling that I was going to start a YouTube channel.
Yeah,
like,
you would have had no idea.
No idea. If you asked me that, I would have been like, no. But then me and Gretchen started bonding, and I was like, wait, I like this girl. Like, she's she might be perfect for me. Because I didn't want someone that I had to, like, baby. I just wanted someone that could, like, hang and be my friend. And, like, I feel like we just have the perfect relationship for what we both wanted out of Alpha Phi.
I know, exactly. Because I was like, I'm a sophomore. I'm already coming into this late. I don't want someone that, like, needs to, like, take care of me as, like, a baby freshman and show me the way. Like, I just wanted someone that was, like, my age and to be my friend. So it worked out so well. And you just, like, never know what's going to happen. Because I remember going into it when I first talked to Natalie, I was like, oh my gosh, I've literally stalked her Instagram before. She's so cute. Like, me and my friends are like, this girl's so pretty. Like, her dog looks like her.
No, and I literally was probably like, so how's the breakup with Justin? Like, I literally knew everything about her.
I know. I remember after she was like, okay, we literally, like, all watched your eyebrow video and, like, whatever. So, yeah, it's, like, really funny how it works out. And then, yeah, I guess, like, Big Little, I know that can be stressful, too, if you want to hear about Big Little. Like, every week, it's, like, a big and a little. And I feel like I was barely there, but I knew I wanted Natalie to be my big. I was probably, like, on a trip or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when I got my little, I was, like, traveling, and I was just, like, I want her. So it just, like, worked out really well.
Everything works out for a reason.
But, yeah, I know it can be, like, stressful, and just trust the process. Yeah. And the world will put you with who you're supposed to be with, I feel like.
So. And also, some people get bigs and littles that they're not that close with. Like, we just, our whole fam was lucky. Like, they're all the close. Way down to, like, Emily. Like, everyone's just still close.
Yeah.
Emily's, like, my great-grandbig, who's Gretchen's, like, and I know her. Like, we're all, like, Courtney, super close, and, like, everyone's amazing. But there's some people that, like, they're not that close, and, like, it doesn't matter. Like, they're just, when it comes down to it, they're just bigs and littles. Like, regardless, Gretchen and I probably still would have been best friends at some point in our life.
I know, like, you don't need to be best friends, but it's just, like, a bonus if you are. Like, yes. Nice.
It's very nice.
Yeah. I don't know if, like, what else do people want to hear about sororities?
I know.
I think we talked a lot about it.
Yeah, I feel like we did, too.
I know people can be scared. Like, I was scared going into it. Like, I feel like you hear that they're going to pressure you to do things or make you do things or, like, boys or whatever. And it can be really scary and, like, intimidating. And it's just not at all. And
no.
The girls are just like you. Like, they go to college just like you. They're just looking for their new pledge class of friends. Mm-hmm. And you just bond. And that's all. Like, it, all these rumors you hear going into it are just, like, made not up true. And, like, nonsense.
Yeah.
And it was, like, honestly the best decision I made at BU because I made so many, like, Natalie, right here, I made so many, like, lifelong friends that I never would have made. Isn't that so weird? Like, I never would have met you if I didn't, like, rush.
Yeah. No, like, obviously, Gretchen's one of my best friends. I have so many other best friends that I met just through Alpha Phi. Like, I may have, like, the last few years not gone to as many events as I should have.
Skipped a couple chapters.
But we won't get into details. But
before
that, like, I'm so thankful for it because otherwise I wouldn't have met my people, my homies.
Yeah. So I would recommend. Or even if it's not... Obviously, if it's not for you, like, if you just aren't into the sorority scene, like, any club, like, there's so many, like, club sports or whatever. Yeah. There's a million ways you can get involved, so.
Like, that's fashion just more, magazine or something like that. Or, like,
just more tips for the freshmen.
Totally.
Okay, now we're going to talk about just boys and relationships and stuff, and I'm so excited to hear your opinion. Okay, this girl said, can we talk about, like, friends with benefit situations and what to do if you catch the feelings? What's your opinion on the friends with benefits and that whole thing?
So I feel like it gets into a pretty slippery slope pretty quickly, especially in college. Just because, I mean, this is stereotypical, but a lot of guys and girls too don't, but mostly guys, I would have to say, even though that's stereotypical, but whatever.
No, but it's true. And they're not mature.
Yeah. Like, guys just, they don't really want relationships in college, and I can't say I was ready for a relationship until senior year. Like, I honestly wasn't at all. And I feel like it's hard when you start to catch the feels, you want to just run away from them as fast as you can.
That was Natalie. That's always been you.
Literally, I'd be like, ugh, he's so nice, gross, I need to leave. I'm like, I just ghost, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I would just say the best thing, like, honesty is always the best policy. If you start feeling a certain way, I would just, like, honestly have the conversation. And, yeah, it's going to suck if they say, I don't feel that way. Don't or, like, I just want to, like, do what we're doing. But if they say that, then honestly. And
it's not meant to be anyway.
Right. If you like them and they don't, they just want to hook up, like, don't do that to yourself. Like,
I know.
It's just going to hurt you more.
You get in the worst situation and you, like, feel like crap because you like them and they don't like you, but you just like spending time with them, but they're not, like, in for it for the right reasons.
So
and, like,
true.
It's so scary. But I literally always feel like if you're supposed to be that with that person, like, you're going to be. And if you're catching the feelings and they don't have them, then it's, like, not meant to be anyway. And, yeah.
So true.
And just know when the right person comes into your life, you're going to know. And if they're not the right person, you're going to know that they're not the right person. Or if you're ever, I always say, if you ever question if someone likes you, then they don't like you because you wouldn't be questioning it. Like, it shouldn't be a game or a maze to figure out if somebody likes you.
Right.
Like, when Max liked me, I knew. When Andrew liked Natalie, she knew.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well, sometimes know? I feel like even I, throughout college, like to play games with guys. Like, in, like, it's just, like, everyone loves the chase.
Yeah.
Loves the chase. It's just plain and simple. It's just mm-hmm. fun, and you like to know, like, the element of surprise. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you are ready for a relationship, don't put yourself in a situation where you're like, oh, I just want to be, like, the cool girl and just, like, I won't catch the feels. Like,
yeah, you I don't know care. That, yeah. I'm like a boy.
Because I've probably done that where I'm like, oh, no, like, we're chill, like, whatever. But it hurts. Like, it really hurts. So yeah. I would just say, like, stay true to yourself and know your worth and don't put yourself in that situation and get yourself out of it as fast as you can if you feel like the feelings aren't mutual between the two.
And I remember what I was going to say. It's so scary to be vulnerable. And I feel like in friends with benefit situations, someone is going to start to feel some way. Like, you can't just be – like, I just feel like that's not, like, a sustainable thing.
No, maybe for a short period of time.
But they're going to start caring, or you're going to start caring, or whatever it's going to be. And it's scary to be the one that's like, okay, what are we? Or whatever. But, like, if it's meant to be that person, it's going to be. And if it's not, it's not. So that's all I have to say about that. We're going to talk about, I don't even know. You know, let's just talk about it now, because I don't even know if I wrote it down, about how we manifested our boyfriends. But literally, you guys, I know we probably sound like crazy people talking about, like, give out the energy you want to receive. But me and Natalie wholeheartedly did this last September. I cannot even begin to tell you if that's not an example that manifesting things
and
is
a thing.
And
then we trapped our boyfriends. Imagine that.
We literally did. I was going to say, what we were talking about, we anchored them, but that's with the baby. We don't do that.
We didn't baby anchor them yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Andrew, but wait.
Literally, wait. Andrew
just
is
kidding.
Coming.
Don't worry.
But that is such an example of manifesting, I feel, because literally, I remember it so vividly. We were in your car driving to Andover, right? And we were going over the bridge, leaving Boston.
Yes.
And we were talking about how we were like, you know what? We're, like, ready for boyfriends this fall. I think Natalie was like, I think I could have a boyfriend. I'm going to have a boyfriend this fall. And I was like, you know what? Me too. Yeah. And I feel like we both were like, oh, it's not these, like, random guys that we're kind of talking to right now. Andrew and Max.
These random guys.
It was, like, 100% them.
Yes.
And it's so funny because they came into our lives right as we were actually ready.
Yeah.
And we were saying that earlier in college, I wasn't ready for a relationship. No. I don't think you were either. If you like, come from high school and date this person for, like, 10 years and date all through college, like, good for you. But I think for a lot of people, like, they need to be single in college to, like, work on themselves and find themselves, and I knew I needed that, especially coming from my last relationship after freshman year. I, like, looked in the mirror, like, not even kidding, and I was just like, whoa, I don't even know who I am anymore without this person, and it was scary. So I knew that needed to end because I needed to work on me and find myself. Wow, that was deep. But
no, but it's so
anyway,
true.
Yeah, and then I just feel like going to my senior year, I was so, like, confident with who I was and, like, where I was in life. And I was like, I'm, like, ready to just share it with someone else. And I feel like you were the same way.
Well, I felt like I just got screwed over so many times.
Yes.
Which I totally, like, put onto myself. Like, I literally I got screwed. Like, I literally did it to myself.
Were,
like,
you the friends with benefits situation, like, that started to have
much.
Feelings?
Like, just, like, but they, none of these people were right for me, but I think, like, finally in my junior year, like, especially, like, heading into the end of it, I was, like, I think I'm, like, I'm sick of, like, just, like, these, like,
random
like, texting here and there. Like, I was just sick of it. I was, like, I don't want this anymore. I think I, like, the next person I'm with is gonna be someone that I'm, like, actually like and, like, into. That sounds horrible.
No, but I, like, explicitly remember you telling me this, too, because I feel like I, like, remember the day, and you were just, like, I'm, like, over this. Like, I'm, like, ready for, like, something, like, serious.
Right, and then, lo and behold,
Andrew walks
right into my life.
Yeah.
Knocking on my door.
It's crazy, and we both got boyfriends, like, literally at the same time. Like, last September, right after we said we were ready. So let me just tell you, you better go manifest your boyfriend, because then he'll walk into your life.
And don't be turned off if your boyfriend takes a little longer to ask you to be his girlfriend, because
Andrew needed some pushing.
Our 1 year is on Saturday, so and Gretchen's was, what, like, 3 months ago.
Yeah, I, like, in my, and it's so funny, but because, like, in my mind, you started dating, like, when we started dating, because that's when we all started, like, talking and hanging out, but Andrew just needed a little push.
Which is fine, just give him time, don't rush him.
I'm like, so when are you asking Natalie to be your girlfriend, or what?
I was like, my ring finger is ready. I was like, I'm ready.
It's empty.
I'm ready for this engagement.
I'll be engaged by the end of the night, guys, we're kidding about that part.
But don't worry, I'm not that crazy.
Yeah,
or am I?
I just wanted to talk about how we manifested our boyfriends. But also, so you can't manifest it if you're not ready. Like, if you need to work on yourself right now, no boy is going to come walking into your life because he knows you aren't ready yet.
Totally.
So you got to work on yourself. Okay? That's step one. So this says, can we talk about being single and not looking for a relationship? So let's backpedal a little bit. Like, I know my sophomore and junior year, even though I was looking for a boyfriend, that's exactly why I couldn't have one and I needed to be single.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in a relationship, but I know it can be hard. So what would you say to someone, like, when they're single?
I would just say that have fun being single. Have fun going out, like, talking to all these guys or girls or whatever. And just live. Like, if you aren't looking for a boyfriend or you think in the back of your head you are, but you, like, still like having your freedom, like, then you're probably not ready for a boyfriend, which is, like, fine. I was the same way. But I think I also had the problem where I would meet guys and like them and would, like, be like, oh, my God, I, like, picture our life together and, like, have those. Yeah, and I would literally, like, I would do it in my head, and I was like, these people are simply not right for me, but why do I think that they are? I would just say, like, just have fun. Like, don't worry. Like, what will come, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And it can be hard, especially if you're, like, coming off of, like, a long relationship or something. Like, for me, I feel like I was just so used to it. And I know you guys, too, if you come out of a long relationship and you break up and the rug is ripped out from underneath of you and you're just like, oh, I don't know how to be alone. But it's that much more important why you need to find out who you are on your own. And, like, it's okay to be single. And, like, I know deep down when I was single, I was looking for a relationship, which is exactly what you can't do. And I feel like I finally, literally when I got a boyfriend, I finally learned that I was, like, so happy being single and, like, how to be single. And you literally do have to enjoy it, because when you're in a relationship, you're like, oh, remember when that was so fun when I would go out every day and just, like, be so, like, not, like, having a boyfriend holds you back at all.
But, like, but you're not doing the same stuff that you used. You're not going up to the bar
you could be
and being
so,
like,
social.
Buy me drinks. Exactly. Like, you're not that I did that.
No, we did. We were living our best life. Yeah. And I feel like just enjoy being single. Yeah. Like, if you needed someone to, like, grab you by the shoulders and shake you and be like, be happy that you're single right now, because one day you're not going to be.
Right.
And you're going to wish that you, like,
not at all.
Drink a bottle of vodka every weekend.
Yeah, no, it's
no,
fine.
I'm kidding. Don't do that either. But, like, literally enjoy being single.
Just make it Tito's and it's fine.
And, exactly. And just know that, like, you are going to get a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it is when you're supposed to. And you're supposed to be single for a reason. And you got to work on yourself, sis. Okay?
Yes.
That's your reminder. Queen. Okay, wait. Let's talk about... Hang on. Now I'm, like, messing up the order. Okay, I'm going to skip this and come... Okay. Let's talk about getting over a long-term boyfriend, because we both had this, and, oh, yeah, maybe you could talk about your situation if you wanted to, but you also don't have to.
No, I can.
So, we're going back in time, because then I talked about, like, when I was single, but then before that, had the long-term boyfriend.
That's all right.
And I was, like, distraught for so long, and would text him and be like, take me back. Not actually, but I would just be like, hi, and then he'd probably answer, like, 3 days later, and we just have not talked in, like, 5 years, and that's fine with me, and we just don't have a relationship. Like, I wonder one day if we'll be friends. I think he, like, lives down the street from me now, guys.
Seriously?
Literally, Justin lives in Boston. If he listens, someone knows him, like, listening to this. Yeah. He, like, lives not that far. Anyway, watch, I, like, run into him one day.
Well, actually,
but what's
my
funny,
friends knew him from going abroad. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. But what's so funny is, like, it feels like a lifetime ago. Yeah. Like, if I saw him, it wouldn't be like, oh, my God, that's my ex-boyfriend. I would just be like, oh, my God, that's that guy that I, like, knew. Like, I would just be like, what's up? Like, it would be funny if we were friends, or I feel like it would be fine. But getting over them is really hard, and the best thing you can do is not speak at all. Like, literally, just do not speak to them, or else it's going to make it that much harder. He made it easy and just wouldn't answer.
Just was like, nope.
No, but we just, like, would not talk. And it's funny because I was the one that was like, this relationship needs to end. Like, what are we doing? But then I feel like he was just like, okay, bye, sis. Like, skirt. And we just didn't speak. But I feel like that's the best thing you can do. And you need to work on yourself. And you need to surround yourself with your friends and your family that care about you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my situation in high school was a little different. We weren't long term. I wouldn't say we were, like, we lost, like, several months.
But in high school, it's like a wild
time. Right, that's like
your whole world.
That's literally a lifetime in high school. So I was a junior, he was a senior, and I mean, we didn't have the best relationship, but we both just liked each other. And then I was riding horses a lot in high school, so, like, literally the one weekend I didn't go to a party, because in high school I was a fiend and loved to go out. Like, I was a fiend. I would not miss a night. But this night I missed, and he decided to cheat on me with not one but two girls.
Guys, like, mic drop. Can you believe it?
Yeah. So he had a little threesome. But honestly, I have to say, when I found out, of course, I was like, what the F? Like, are you serious? But part of me was, like, happy because I was, like, I was so over him anyway because he just, like, sucked. And
clearly.
Yeah, he sucked. But then the way we ended, like, obviously I broke up with him. I disinvited him to prom. Found another date anyway.
Okay. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. In high school, there's the prom.
Yeah, and I remember he was like, I can't believe you're not bringing me to prom. And I'm like, are you dumb?
You think I'm going to bring you after all of this? Yeah. Guys, I told Natalie, like, I just had a realization because I've obviously known all about, I won't say his name.
The one who shall not be named.
Oh my god, I was just about to say his last name instead. but, like, I've known about him, but I realized, like, she hasn't talked about it in a video at all. And I'm like, imagine how many people, because it's so sad how many people get cheated on. I mean, girls cheat on boys too. But if she, like, made a video talking about it, like, that would help so many people.
I know.
Because look at her now. She's thriving.
I'm trying to thrive. But, I mean, I can't say it, like, broke my heart and destroyed me. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I definitely was not in love with him. Like, if Andrew did that, I would be broken. Yeah. But this person I was not in love with at all. And but the way we ended, so we broke up, but it was, like, super back and forth texting still and, like, that type of thing. And then I really wanted an apology from both the girls because I was, like, friendly with them. But I think this is super important because I feel like I did a good job with this. Yes, they were super in the wrong and, like, we were friends enough where they owed it to me to not do that. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? He was the one who owes it to me the most. He messed up the biggest time. So I said, I was just like, I know you did it. I'm not mad at you, but I would like an apology and, like, a little bit of an explanation. They both did that, and I said, we're good. That's it. And to this day, like, I'm friends with them. I just was like, it's not worth my breath. I was not in love with him.
You're so mature. I feel you've always been so mature.
But that, it's just like, why do I need to, I wanted to ruin his life, and I had fun. Like, I think I punched him in the face and ripped his shirt, but I didn't want to ruin their lives. Like, like, it was not that important to me. But he's fine. Don't worry. I didn't actually, like, punch him. I maybe did a little, but it wasn't, like, bad. I don't support abuse, but it was just one of those things. But
how did you – so you didn't think it was, like, that hard to get over because you were kind of, like, over it anyway?
Yes. So I don't want to pretend like I was, like, super in love with him and I'm, like – I was, like, broken by it because I wasn't. It was more just – and I think, honestly, I loved the drama of it, and I loved, like, at parties that he would get mad after because I was talking to other guys, and he would come over, and then I'd, like, then they'd be, like, fighting, and I would be like, oh, my God, guys are fighting over me. So I, like, liked that in high school. I'm not going to, like, sugarcoat it. I thought it was funny. But I do think it's important to, like, obviously, if they cheated on you, it's not your fault. Like, I did nothing to deserve that. And even if people say it takes two to tango, it doesn't matter. You don't cheat on people. Simple.
Yeah.
Don't cheat on people. And I think also you need to, like, you just need to evaluate the relationship. I think sometimes it can be salvaged. And then I think other times, like this one, I didn't care. I was just like, I don't need you in my life.
Yeah. I feel like what you said, that's like the biggest thing whenever anyone's, now this is advice if you're cheated on. the biggest thing if you're cheated on, like people always like reflect on themselves and they're like, okay, it's something I did. Like what's so wrong with me? But it's like, it's not your fault. That's like the biggest thing I feel like people need to hear. Like it literally is not your fault. It's them. It's not you.
Yeah.
Like you're the one that's chilling. It's like, they're the one that has issues that they did that.
Right. So. And if you want to figure it out, then I don't really know how to go about that, but I know that there's probably, like, therapy and ways to do it. For me, that wasn't a relationship I cared about to keep, and I was like,
so you were like,
see ya, on to the next.
Okay, so this is good. This says, when do you know, or, like, she wants us to talk about knowing when to date again after a breakup. Like, how do you know when you're ready, and how do you not compare them to your ex?
Yeah. Well, I didn't date anyone. I didn't have a boyfriend until Andrew after. Mm-hmm. But I obviously, like, had, like, people I would talk to throughout the years. And I feel like for me, it was – it took me a good amount of time, though, to find someone after that person, after we broke up, to talk to even, just because I was just over it. I was like, I don't
– boy suck.
Yeah. I was like, I just need, like, time to, like, be me. I don't think there's any – based on how long you've been in a relationship, I don't think there's any specific time that you need to wait. I just think it's based on you. If you need 5 years before you date someone else, fine. If you need 5 days, probably not the best, but, like, also, you do you. It's fine. Yeah. Like, you just need to, I think it's all about what your heart and, like, your gut tells you. If you feel ready, then you're probably ready. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel ready, then who cares?
Yeah. I think knowing when to date again after breakup is when you truly are loving yourself.
Yes.
And are good with yourself, because then that's when you can, like, share your happy, full life on your own with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And not comparing to an ex, I feel like the best thing for that would just be time. Like, if you have enough time in between, like, I don't even know how much time I had in between, 3 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I, like, forget what happened anyway. I'm never comparing, like, right. the two. Like, that would be weird. And I feel like if you really, like, in love the new person you're with, you're not going to be really comparing right. them anyway. So, yeah, don't do that.
I think it's hard if you were maybe in, like, a kind of, abusive is a strong word, but whether it's verbally...
Like, emotionally.
Like, or manipulative or... relationship. I'm sure if there's, like, certain signs that trigger you, that might remind you of them. But I would just say talk to whoever it is you're with and just explain how you're feeling. Because if you're open and honest and, like, they understand where you're coming from and they'll know that you guys can talk about those things. And I don't, and then that kind of takes, or it eliminates being able to compare the two, that you can just talk about how you're feeling.
Yeah. Okay, this I didn't even write down, but I'm just, like, remembering. You guys, two things that really stuck with me. Wait, or am I only thinking of one now? Natalie just taught me so much, like, during college. And I remember one thing in specific, I feel like this is just meaningful to share, is she was just telling me how much more important your friends are than guys in college. Mm-hmm. And it's such a thing. And I know, and I remember her, like, sitting down telling me, and I'm like, what do you know? But she's, like, 1,000,000% right. Like, you need someone that is going to sit you down and be like, sis, this guy that you think is so worth it and you're going to marry and you're going to love, it's not going to happen. And if you're one of your best friends or whoever it is, like a sister in your sorority or whatever, is with them or was just with them or whatever, like, it's so not worth it. No. And girl, friendships are so much more important than, like, a new love interest or something, because if it's meant to be, it's going to be down the line anyway, and maybe you'll meet them in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just feel like that's so important. Like, she just taught me so much about that. And friends over guys, literally always.
Well, because I made the mistake of doing that once. I basically didn't value a friendship, a really, really important friendship, over a guy. And it was just a dumb young mistake that I made, but it blew up in my face, like catastrophic. And I sat Gretchen down because I didn't want anything like that to happen to her, because that, like, broke me. It literally broke me. And I was like, there's no guy in this world, unless you've known them for, like, 10 years, and, like, it's like a movie, and they, like, you finally, like, figure out that you're in love. You both are in love. There's no guy in college that you're like, oh, this is the guy I'm meant to be with, but even though that's going to break my best friend's heart. It's not worth it. It's simply not worth it. It's just not.
Yeah, I remember in the moment being so, like, worked up about him, being like, he's so important, and it's, like, this random boy that I don't even know anymore or talk to ever. Like, it was so random.
Because the same thing happened to me, and I was like, trust me, he'll blow over. You'll find another one. Yeah. There's so many fish in the sea.
But she knew so well. And I thought of the other thing, too, that really stuck with me, is just, like, being so honest with your friends and your girlfriends about, like, everything, like, how you're feeling. Like, me and Natalie, I feel like we're just so open with each other.
Yeah.
And that's just what works so well. And we just always tell each other, like, how we're feeling. Or if anything does happen with guys, or you do anything that you think would make them upset or whatever it is, just, like, having a conversation about it with them and telling them before they find out from someone else or whatever it is, like, that's just what you have to do. Like, you just have to be, like, the bigger person and be mature about it.
So true.
Yeah. So that's just what's always stuck with me. That's some Natalie advice that
I love.
Okay, this one says, thoughts on living with a significant other before marriage. Oh, I thought that was really funny because we both have done that and do that.
Yes. Well, okay, so Andrew and I basically moved in with each other about 6 months ago, so we were really only 6 months into our relationship, but I guess we just moved really fast. I don't know. When you know what's right, it kind of is right.
And when you're older, like, we were seniors in college. We were about to graduate.
Yeah.
When you know, you know.
But,
you know,
we got the dog. We have our little French bulldog, Royce, and I obviously couldn't be away from him, so I was like, all right, Andrew, I'm bringing my bags over. So I just, like, slowly moved in. It wasn't like we had a conversation where he's like, I want you to move in, like, with me.
Here's the key.
Yeah. And I think it's similar with you, too. Like, you guys just, like, gravitated towards
it. It just made sense.
Yeah.
And when they're your person and you love spending every moment with them, why would you live apart anyway? So my thoughts are, I know it's very, like, what's it called? Conventional, like conservative, I don't know. Like traditionally.
Traditionally,
you live with your significant other once you've married them. But I just feel like in this day and age, I don't know, honestly, how you could marry someone if you've never lived with them.
Right. You need to test out the wheels.
Yeah. Like, how do you know if they're neat or clean or whatever? Yeah. And if you're really, you know, traditional and are waiting till marriage to live with each other, so be it. And you do you. But yeah, I just also feel like with you guys, like, moving in together relatively quickly or whatever you're basing that off of, like, everyone's timeline is different. And me and Maggie were talking about this the other day. Like, everyone's saying, like, you guys are so young. Like, don't rush it, whatever. But we were just realizing, like, everyone's so different. And like Aspen and Parker, for example, got married when they're 18 and 19, built their first house like so much earlier than everybody else. But like, that's what works for them. And I don't need to compare myself to that. Or if you are 22 and single, you don't need to compare yourself to me and Natalie. You know, like, well, everyone's different.
I also have friends that they've been in relationships for like 6 years and they are our age and they still don't live with each other because they're not ready. And that's fine. Mm. But also, I just thought of this. If you're one of those people, even if you're single or in a relationship and you're like, I don't know how you live with a guy, like, I need my space, like, I need my room, like, I need to be, like, gross and stuff. Like, I was one of those people that I needed, like, to live in my room and, like, be able to, like, just make food on my own and, like, not be with a guy. I completely 180'd with that because now I don't care. Like, I'm literally wear no makeup. Like, obviously, I live with him and I live with two guys now.
Yeah. And you get really comfortable.
Yeah.
Really
and I, like, quick. Go out there. I'm like, disgusting.
Sup,
like,
boys?
I'm like, what are we eating tonight, boys?
What's the lunch?
Yeah, like, you just, I promise you, it gets comfortable. I mean, I don't know if that was good advice or helpful, but I know I was always like, how do people live with guys? Like, I need my space to be, like, gross and, like, not a cute girl.
Yeah. No, you'll get there.
Oh, trust me.
It happened early on in our relationship.
It sure does.
Very comfortable. You're just, like, friends coexisting.
You're like,
the romance is gone.
You're like, oh, babe, you're pooping.
Like, literally.
I'm like, babe, you need toilet paper? I got you.
You're, like, in sweatpants every day.
Literally.
That's so, oh my gosh. I already know we need another podcast episode where we talk about, like, living with boys and, like, what we've learned and stuff. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is so random. This is just a question I have for you. I just put this in here. We need to talk about Natalie's skin. Okay.
Stop.
Guys, her skin is literally perfect. I already know that you know that though, like from her Instagram and her videos and stuff. Can you tell us your secret of life? Because I feel like you used to be like, oh, like the water and the vitamins and whatever. Yeah. But like, what do you tell us what you do every day for your skin?
So this now I feel like I'm on like the Skinny Confidential because she always asks about skin tips. But I feel like hydration obviously is a big thing, and I'm pretty good about drinking water. I love to just slug back a glass of water, but I'm a big firm believer that less is more. I don't think you need that. I only wash my face maybe once a day if I have makeup on. If I don't, I just use water because I just think it strips your skin of natural oils and stuff, and I love moisturizer. I cannot move my face. It turns into like the Tin Man if I don't put moisturizer on. Like, I can't talk. I'm like, what's going on?
Her skin right now, it's always like just glowing and so soft. Like, you have the best texture skin. Like, it's so soft.
Aww,
and
thanks.
You have like no pores and it's all like one color and just even and like nice. Like, it's really like baby looking skin.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Like, you're not gonna have a wrinkle. You're gonna look 30 when you're 80.
That's a dream. But the only thing I use is I use a vitamin A and E oil. I put that on in the morning. And then I put moisturizer.
Is there like a specific one I should know?
I got it on Amazon. I don't know if it does anything. I just started using it. But I also use Origins under eye cream because I have really bad dark circles.
Is it called banana something?
No, I think it's like Revitalize or something. I'll find it for you.
Okay, we have to go look at the orange one that's in my cabinet.
Yeah,
maybe
it is.
I think it's Origins. I don't know if it's called banana. I might have made
that
up.
I don't know.
Okay.
Nanorbops.
I need whatever you have because it's working, clearly.
And then at night, also don't use makeup wipes. I don't think that they're good for your skin. They pull your skin. So I would say use like the cleanser water, like the micellar. Yes, micellar cleansing water. Or use a balm and it like will melt off your makeup.
The Clinique one.
Yes.
I recommend. So good.
I like
that one.
I use the Elemis one because Skinny Confidential told me to use it and it's so nice. But other than that, I would just say, I mean, I will drunk fall asleep with my makeup on all the time. Not the best, but like, it happens.
And that's how she has her perfect skin.
That's how it just
do that.
I let the foundation sink in.
Oh gosh.
And I wake up and my eyes are crusted together. That's but so yeah, funny. I just think less is more and like give your skin a break and let it like restore itself.
That's interesting about the makeup wipes because you are like pulling your skin all over. Yeah. The other day when you said that, my Purity cleanser that I use that I've used for so long, I like go back to sometimes and it's so good at taking your makeup off.
Yes.
So I use that.
And, I feel like it's just gentler on your skin. And yeah. Not like.
I agree. Okay, that's her tip because her skin is like perfect. I know you guys already know. Okay, this question is how to stop, and they quoted me, and I love this, finishing a handleless vodka every weekend. Because I told you guys in a podcast before that I got my life together and I stopped drinking a handle of Svedka every weekend. She says, how does she stop doing that without feeling left behind from friends?
I think it depends on what state you are in life. Because I think it's important to enjoy yourself, especially in college, and have those weekends where you go so hard and... I mean, people might disagree with that, but I think it's important to, like, get those years out because...
That reminds me, what's that quote that's, like, the memories you won't remember with people you...
Oh, wait, it's...
something like that.
You never remember the nights that you stayed in is one. That's not the one you were saying.
Yeah, I know.
That's the one we used when I was in London for, like, a summer. And we went out from literally Monday to Sunday.
That is so funny.
And I would literally, like, my liver's screaming at me. And everyone's like, you're never going to remember the nights that you stayed in. And I'm like, to the break of dawn. And I'm like, why was I like this?
You know those, like, really, like, cheesy captions people make their Instagram? It's like, here's to the nights we won't remember with the people we won't forget.
We won't forget. Yeah. I totally see that. Like, I visualize it. Yeah. Totally.
But I agree. I feel like it's the stage of life you're in. That's what you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, you just get to a point. Like, I think for me and Natalie, as well, our senior year, we're like, okay, we don't need to literally binge drink anymore.
No,
like, we're over that. And sure, you can have that phase in college if you want it. You definitely, like, don't need it by any means.
Right.
But I'm going to take this back to Tori, my favorite person. Because
literal soul sister.
My literal inspiration to breathe. She talks about how she's been going out so much and being so social, but you just have to have the realization, like, wait, I don't need to drink.
Right.
I can go out and I don't have to drink. Or I can go out and have one drink instead of five.
Right.
And she goes and maybe has, like, a spike seltzer or just, like, sticks with club soda and doesn't drink at all. Like, literally, you don't have to feel left out at all. You can still go out and be social. Or if you are like, okay, I don't even want to go to a bar, just, like, be social with your friends in another way. Go to a movie. Like, I know girls in our sororities always do that. Like, if they don't – girls in our – did I say sororities? Girls in our sorority.
Yeah.
Always do that. If they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so not feeling going out. Like, a bunch of girls will go to a movie or whatever it is. So it's like, you just have to make yourself not feel left behind by going or not going and deciding that it's okay if you don't go.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I got into a phase, I think it was like sophomore or junior year, where I like hated going out. I just would never go out, which was also not the greatest because I was like
sad and FOMO.
And just like, can't go out. I'm like, can you just come? And I'm like, no,
I'm not allowed.
Right. But I think there's just a happy medium that you can find, and don't worry, because if you're having a big case of FOMO but your body's telling you, like, please don't make me, like, drink tonight, I promise you there will be more nights. You will be able to go out again. Nothing that happened that night is something that won't happen again. Like,
just think
realistically.
I feel like you just get to a point, like, you just kind of grow up a little bit. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I was, like, binge drinking or drinking to get drunk.
Oh,
or,
I can't.
You know, like,
unfortunately,
I feel like I just drink really, like, casually now, or have, like, a drink or two. So just, like, do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I literally had such a rough weekend, like, a few weeks ago. It's Maggie's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I was on another level, you guys. I can't. It took me, like, and once you get older, your hangovers are, like, 7 weeks long.
Yeah.
You're literally, like, I can't
They really
look.
Are. I feel like that's a big incentive for me to drink a lot less, too.
Because
when you're younger, I swear it's a thing, you don't feel hungover. Something changes in your body. Like, once you hit 22, 23, you know, I don't know.
Like, your body's just, like, it turns into a grandma. And it's like,
yeah,
I am a potato the next day. I am so worthless to society. I cannot provide any.
Your Snapchats the next day are what get me through.
Well, that's when I'm drunk.
Life.
I'm still drunk at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
like, the headache is all day. It ruins your whole next day. And, like, if I want to have a good productive day, I'm not going to, like, go crazy before and, like, rip tequila shots. Like, oh my God, the idea of that gives me, like, chills.
I have chills all over my body.
Yeah. Okay, this is, like, totally, like, 180, 360. I don't know what it's called. Like,
what are your favorite workout tips?
Natalie.
Shut up.
Tell me how to eat healthy and work out. Because you, honestly, I feel like have such a good balance, and I've always lived, like, such... Like, I feel like you prioritize a healthy lifestyle so much, like, eating healthy and working out. So, how do you think about it? Give me your thoughts.
Yeah. So, I feel like there's been points in my life where I had an unhealthy relationship where I would be so guilty if I didn't work out, like, twice a day even. Or if I, like, ate a piece of bread, which is so ridiculous now because I finally, like, honestly, it probably was, like, last year. Around last year.
I feel like boyfriends help you with
that.
Yeah. You see how they can just consume food like a normal human.
Right.
It and sounds weird, like, to say.
But I just stopped thinking about it. And I know that sounds so, like, stupid and probably, like, whatever, but...
No, it doesn't. It's
so I was so concerned about what I was eating and how many pieces of kale I was eating that day and if I didn't get enough greens in or, like, what time lunch was, what time breakfast was, like, all this. It was constantly on my mind.
Girls can get, like, so worked up about it because you feel so, like, pressured.
Right. So now I, like, don't think about eating times. I eat when I'm hungry, which it took me a while to figure that out because everyone's like, oh, intuitive eating. And I was like... It didn't make sense to me. And then now I feel like I don't stress if I just ate like a half a bag of chips with Gretchen. Like, I'm fine. I didn't just put on like 20 pounds right now. Like, I'm an active person. I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to go home and eat like another bag of chips.
The other half.
But, like, I might. No, I just think it's about just letting go of any stressors that you have. I mean, I guess that's more if you have an unhealthy relationship to start. But... And then in terms of working out, again, I probably had an unhealthy relationship with that at some point in my life. But now it's just something I enjoy doing and it makes me feel good. And I'm not doing it to, like, look a certain way. I'm just doing it because it makes me feel good and, like, it's good to do for your body. And it's just that. And if I don't feel like working out for, like, 2 or 3 days or while I'm on vacation, I don't panic like I used to. So I feel like that is just, you just got to let go. Let go.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, it's so sad to say, but what girl hasn't had, like, at least at some point an unhealthy feeling, relationship, whatever it may be, about working out or eating healthy or whatever it is. It's really sad because every girl feels so pressured by society these days. Am I right? But, yeah, I feel like we both kind of struggled with that in the past because, like I said, who doesn't? But I feel like we both... kind of just, like, let go of the reins. And if you stop being so stressed about it...
It just comes so much easier.
You can function as a normal human. And I swear, boyfriends, it sounds so weird, but they, like... Andrew and Max served as, like, a model of how a human can just, like, eat normal. Like, when they're hungry and whatever they want, and whenever they want.
And, like, if you're not hungry for, like... Until, like, sometimes I won't eat till, like, 3 or 4, and, like, that's okay. Like, it's not...
Yeah, just do whatever works for you.
Right, like, and then some days I wake up and I'm like, holy crap, I'm so hungry. Like, it's just, I mean, I think this took a turn where it wasn't supposed to, but, like, I feel like it just helps seeing how, like, you, it doesn't need to be this big part of your life. Like, food is for fuel. It's not to be a stressor in your life.
Yeah.
And working out is to be healthy and, like, I love doing it with, like, you, Maggie, and Emma, and friends, because it's just a fun thing to do and, like, share that experience with people. But it doesn't need to be, like, this, like, competitive and, like, oh, can I do berries twice today and then twice tomorrow and then twice the next day? Yeah. Like, it's, I can't,
like, yeah, stress I feel like we're both in, like, a much healthier place eating whatever we want whenever we want. And I truly work out because it makes me feel good.
Totally.
And I forget who told me at some point, like, you never, I always say this, you never feel worse after a workout.
So
but
true.
Truly, whenever I'm feeling, especially if, like, mentally I'm, like, kind of sad or feeling down or thinking about my dad or, like, whatever it may be, working out always helps. Like, it helps your mood so much, like, the endorphins and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, if I'm feeling tired or whatever it may be, like, working out is going to always make you feel better. So, like, you might as well.
Right, and just find people to do workouts that you like together, and then it's so much easier to motivate.
And then it's literally
other.
A social thing. Like, SoulCycle, I don't think of it as working out. I think of it as going to, like, have a fun time.
I'm like, oh, we have book club this afternoon.
No, literally. Like, literally. Okay, the last thing we are going to talk about. Why did we choose to stay in Boston after college, and how has the transition from college been to adulting?
Wow. So, I've had a period of time where I felt, like, super down and, like, lost about what I'm doing. Because, obviously, YouTube is just... It's been a thing in my life, like, kind of recently, but it hasn't... I haven't, like, gotten to a point where it, like, supports me. And I've just been trying to figure out what I want to do with my life, and it's been really stressful, and, like, obviously I have times where I'm, like, super down about it. But the only person holding me back from doing anything about it is myself. So I have thought about, like, I'm going to acting school, which I'm really excited about in January.
Yeah, I don't even know if anyone, like, knows. Yeah. Have you talked about it?
A little bit here and there. But, yeah, I'm going to acting school because that's, like, always been something that I've thought about, but I guess I've never had the courage to, like, admit it. And then I just love Boston, but, like, I'll always stay here. So I'm going to New York for a few months, but I'll be back. Mm-hmm. And the transition is just weird. I mean, I just know myself, and I know I don't want to work, like, quote-unquote a traditional, like, 9-to-5. Like, I'm a very creative person.
I was
and, like,
just gonna say that. You're so creative.
Right, and I just, like, I know I need, like, to find some outlet, and it's just kind of, like, finding myself in that way. So, hoping acting school helps a little bit with that, but, yeah, I guess it's just, it's been a little bit of a tougher transition for me, but I love Boston, and I definitely want to stay here for as long as I can.
Yeah, I feel like it was a no-brainer for us to, like, stay in Boston. I mean, especially Natalie, because she grew up so close to Boston.
Right.
That, like, you've always loved it, and, like, we just love it here so much, and I always thought that I would move to New York. I feel like Natalie did, too.
Yeah.
And then after us both spending summers there, a part of a summer, we were like, wait, no thanks.
Like, Boston, please, like, come back.
Yeah, like, maybe at some point, but it's just a lot less, like, overwhelming and whatever.
Yeah.
And I so admire Natalie, well, for a lot of reasons, but for saying that she feels, like, lost or, like, she doesn't know what she wants to do, because everybody feels like that at some point in life, especially post-grad, like, especially. Yeah. Or even if it's, like, nearing the nearest senior year and everyone's freaking out, like, oh, my God, what job do we get? Or, like, all these friends have a job, but I don't, or whatever it is. And everyone feels like they don't really have direction at some point in life, or lost, or they don't know what they should be doing, or they haven't found it yet. And so, like, I so admire her for, like, going to acting school and, like, trying something, because it's so much better than sitting there being like, I don't know what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, doing it. So, yeah, the transition is definitely difficult, because college is, like, not like high school. It's so different, but it's still, like, a lot of structure, mm-hmm. and, like, your full-time thing, it's college. So then when you leave college, you're like, I'm not around all my friends all the time. I'm not walking by campus being like, Natalie, what are you doing? Yeah. I'm coming with you. Like, it's, you're not just, like, living your fun life. I mean, also, like, schoolwork and whatever, that's nice because that's over.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, a lot of freedom if you don't have a job, like, immediately after you start school. I feel like even if you get a job out, like, right after school, you still have, like, the summer or, like, a month or a couple weeks, I hope, after graduation. Like, I hope you don't just jump right into, like, a 9-to-5.
You need to have a little break.
But it's definitely tough, but I just feel like it teaches you a lot about yourself, and you grow up a lot. And
well, I feel like you, Gretchen, have become so, like, good at working for yourself, and, like, it's probably so much different because you're so used to, like, just fitting in videos, like, in between classes or, like, trips or whatever, and then
now it's like my main hustle,
right, which is, like, so amazing. I literally think Gretchen's, like, the coolest person I know. She's literally, like, such a hustler, and, like, I literally admire that so much. But I feel like it just, you probably found, like, a lot of independence, especially all with Max leaving and stuff. So I think
gotten very independent, a big time of transition, but it's been good. And I know deep down, like, all, like, the challenges you face in life and, like, feeling uncomfortable and everything is such a good thing because it's going to make you grow. Like, Natalie will probably be uncomfortable right as she goes to acting school. Like, it's going to be so
scared.
Different. It's going to be such a change, but it's going to push you so much and to grow and to, like, be challenged. And that's, like, a good thing in life. Like, you never want to be really comfortable and just chilling because that's boring and you're going to feel uninspired. And
you always want to seek discomfort to some level.
I love that.
I learned that from Michael Bostick in Skinny Confidential, so don't quote me. Yeah, he's always like,
that.
Every day you should seek some discomfort. And I know this sounds really stupid, but
mine was SLT today.
No, literally, even if it's working out, or, like, I remember when I, like, tried to start running again, I, like, wanted to walk so bad on my run, but that kept replaying in my head. I was like, seek discomfort, like, I can do this, like, I'm uncomfortable, but this is good. So, like, anytime you're uncomfortable, it's a good thing, like, you're growing.
Aww.
One way or another.
I love that.
That was so soft of me.
I love that, guys. She does have emotions.
I do have emotions.
This has been so fun. We've been recording for an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that insane? It goes by so quick. You guys, this has been so fun. I can't wait to do another podcast with Natalie. I wish, okay, I still haven't made a Facebook group, and I always say that I'm going to make one. Oh, like, I wish I could have feedback from this. You guys could tell us, like, more about what you want to hear
or
whatever.
Can they comment on it?
No, I don't think there is that for podcasts. Oh. Maybe I just need to make a Facebook group, like, right now, because I need to hear you guys' feedback from all my podcasts, because I just kind of put it out there and, like, hope you guys like it, but I don't really, like, get the feedback.
Well, DM me or Gretchen, and I want to hear what you
And I always say, you can always comment on my, like, podcast Instagram post, because I always read those. I'll always see that, so you can always do that, too. But with that, you guys, I hope our big sis talk was, like, helpful.
That was so fun.
And I know, it's just so fun to chat. Don't you forget, like, it's here.
Yes. I was so nervous at first. I hope I did okay. It was my first one.
She did so good.
But that was really fun.
And I hope you enjoyed. And thanks for joining us on this episode of Happy Hour.
Thanks for having me, Gretchen.
Of course. Okay, I'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.